This is the son of PCJ.
This is station PCJ.
This is the son of PCJ. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the program. With the death last week of the founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, what can technology designers learn from him? I don't just mean computers, phones, and tablets, but also radio designers. Eamon Pao, who runs a brand company, will give us his insights into Steve Jobs and Apple, and what can be learned for product designers. We have this and much more, so stay tuned. Media Network Plus, coming to you on all platforms from HF, satellite, AM, FM, internet, and mind transfer. First, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
The fall of repressive regimes in North Africa and the Middle East in the Arab Spring has failed to usher in greater press freedom in the region, said a global media body. One IFRA, the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers, said that little progress has been made in installing legislation that will protect the freedom of the press in Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt. In a report published at the World Newspaper Week in Vienna, Juan Ifra said that in Syria, a media blackout helped obscure the full extent of the regime's brutal crackdown. In Yemen, it said that journalists were deliberately targeted in March as state-orchestrated violence erupted in response to calls demanding President Saleh step down. Bahrain's authorities, with help from their Saudi neighbors, have systematically hunted down, imprisoned, and reportedly tortured bloggers and freedom of expression activists who participated in pro-reform demonstrations earlier in the year. The report said that worldwide, 44 journalists have been killed in 2011 so far, with hundreds of media employees harassed, threatened, or physically attacked. Impunity prevails in many parts of the world for the perpetrators as they seek to influence or mislead public opinion by targeting a free press. Reporters Without Borders visited the South Korean capital of Seoul in July to evaluate the level of media freedom and freedom of information in North Korea. It met with many specialists, human rights activists, North Korean refugees, and South Korean officials in order to assess the changes that have taken place since October 2004, the date of its last investigation. Foreign radio stations continue to be the main source of independent information for the North Korean population. Broadcasting 2 or 3 hours a day in Korean on shortwave, they're listened to by people who have managed to obtain shortwave radio sets. The flow of information is also reinforced by NGOs that send material and multimedia content across the border by various methods. The authorities seem incapable of stopping the growing smuggling and contraband trade, especially in the estimated 300 markets throughout the country and near the Chinese border, or the flow of information via mobile phones and contraband DVDs, USB flash drives, and other digital media whose availability is growing rapidly. 7 years after its first report entitled Journalists in the Service of a Totalitarian Dictatorship, which described the regime's permanent information plan, Reporters Without Borders has found that the government media have evolved little and continue to act as Kim Jong-il's propaganda outlets. The regime is currently paving the way for Kim Jong-un to succeed his father, and next year's centenary of Kim Jong-il's father, eternal President Kim Il-sung, will probably be a key step in this process. Since 2009, Reporters Without Borders has been supporting Seoul-based radio stations operated by North Korean refugees. These stations include Free North Korea Radio, Radio Free Chosun, and Open Radio for North Korea. Reporters Without Borders urges the South Korean government to support the activities of these radio stations, which are crucial, and to get the international community to support them as well. These exile radio stations are now the main guarantors of North Koreans' right to diverse news and information. The chief of Iran's security forces has announced that police officers are authorized to enter private residences to confiscate satellite dishes, even as Tehran's police commissioner declared that authorities will press on with their plan to seize every dish. Tehran Police Chief Hossein Sahedinia said police are confiscating dishes installed in plain view, but with judicial warrants they can also enter homes to search for hidden dishes. He added police will primarily give warning to the satellite dish owners, and then the building administrators will be informed. Sometimes they tell us that the unit owners are traveling, and then the police will take the necessary actions. The police chief said the plan is not meant to be carried out with hostility, but he emphasized that nothing will halt its completion. He went on to say that the national broadcaster Seda Vansima must do its part by producing more varied and engaging programs to attract viewers. Eyewitnesses have reported that security officers in various cities have entered homes without warrants to seize dishes. A judiciary spokesman has said the use of satellite equipment is illegal and officials do not require warrants to investigate evident cases of illegality. China's top broadcasting watchdog ordered a ban on sex-related advertisements on the country's radio and TV. In a recently issued circular, the State Administration of Radio, Film and Television demanded greater self-discipline from radio and TV stations in handling commercials. The administration said the broadcasters should not insert any commercial advertisements between the titles, the body, and the trailer while airing TV dramas. Broadcasters should examine advertisements related to drugs, medical equipment, health supplements, and TV shopping in a serious manner before airing them, according to the circular. The administration also said commercial advertisements should not be aired under the guise of a news report or in the form of a news interview. News anchors should never serve as product endorsers for commercials, the circular added. Special thanks to Andy Sennett at the Radio Netherlands Worldwide Media Network blog for the material used here. For more, check them out at http://blogs.rnw.nl/media network. Or find the link for them at www.pcjmedia.com.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, heard via satellite on the World Radio Network and on great AM and FM partner stations worldwide. Now, I know that many of you feel that iPhones, iPads, laptops, and computers don't have much place in a program about radio. I say this is incorrect. Over the last few years, we have seen listeners listening to radio on these new platforms that normally would not listen off shortwave or terrestrial radio. Apple, which many years ago was mostly used by people in the design and creative fields, have had their products like the iPod, iPad, and iPhone give a jolt to audio and video content, making it accessible. Now, as for myself, yes, I still do listen to a lot of content off HF, but if I'm in the subway, taxi, or in a cafe, this is not possible. So what do? I listen to the BBC World Service, Voice of America, Radio Australia, and others on my iPad, or I download programs and listen to them on my iPod. It's amazing to think that just in a few short years, where I had to listen at home all the time and was only able to listen off shortwave, now I have another option. With an app from the BBC, I could listen to the BBC World Service anytime, anywhere. I could be shopping, having a coffee, or taking my dogs for a walk. Now, it's true that shortwave is extremely important in many regions of the world. Regions like Africa, many parts of Southeast Asia, the Pacific, and Latin America. But we can't deny that the new platforms have attracted new listeners that would not listen to traditional platforms like shortwave. Steve Jobs, who passed away last week, was an innovator. He knew how to make products that worked and were user-friendly. Some things that Apple developed, like the click wheel, have also been incorporated into some regular radios, including a model from Deegan. He not only innovated smartphones, but changed the way many of us listen to music, watch television, get news and information, and listen to radio. Last week, on a noisy street in Taipei, I met with Imin Pao, the owner of a brand consulting company called Brand Partner, to talk about Steve Jobs and the legacy he will leave behind and what designers and tech manufacturers can learn from him.
In fact, most of the design products do not function well because the designer by nature are more obsessed with the form, with the shape, the aesthetic part of the look. So therefore, the functionality takes on second stage most of the time. Yeah.
Now, there are some companies, of course, that change that idea. One of them, of course, is Apple, and Apple has been in the news a lot recently through the death of Steve Jobs. They make products that look good, they make products that work, and they make products that are user-friendly, which is extremely important. There's, of course, a lot of other smart devices out there. You could say maybe they're competitors with Apple, but not really, because they work differently. They're not as, say, user-friendly. What do you think it is that Apple has done for, let's say, all industries, especially in communications or media or branding or designing? What do you think they've really contributed to that?
I'm a graphic design major in college, so Apple has been with us, as for design professional, has been us longer than since before the iPod begin to, you know, take it to the mainstream. So before the music player, the other things, that we use Apple computer for graphic work. Therefore, I think that the Apple contribute not just the beauty of it, but the interface is more intuitive. I use like a PC about 2 minutes in my life, and I just couldn't figure it out, so I turned it off because I don't know how to change for ABC drive. I don't understand any of that. Now, my daughter is 7 years old. When she picked up an iPad, she intuitively know what to do. And just recently, I read that Apple is the only company that makes 3C product without a user manual. You don't have a manual. And that's a huge, huge confidence and also a risk, that a user have to pick up your device and have to understand how to use it. So I think that alone is a very, very, says about the Apple product different than anybody else. I think it's very intuitive.
But of course, it's also very smart. If you can create a product where you don't need to use a user manual, you can turn it on and you know exactly where to go. That's of course a big advantage over, let's say, when you have to read the manual, which quite often manuals are written by engineers. They're not written for consumers.
Exactly. So it's very difficult to figure things out. So, and you know, of course, I read all the Steve Jobs story, and even what we use today, the iPhone, iPod, and all that, it didn't come easy for them. It's not something that they just thought of and then they go and make it work. It went through excruciating pain process. Steve just want to have one button for the iPhone. He just want to have one button, and the button have to be smooth surface. It cannot be bumped and all that. And we think that's something very logical when we touch it, but it takes them, they went through hell to get that done. And so I think without that persistence they insist to go that way, you'll end up with something that where other people have, which is something, a compromise, I think.
If we go back nearly 10 years, Apple and Steve Jobs have even changed, for example, the music industry. Because before the iPod came on the market, there were other MP3 players out there. Sony had them, as well as other companies. But it was really the iPod, the first generation iPod, that took it to new heights. Not just the way we listen to music, but also the way music is distributed, the way it's sent out to the end consumers, and what you just pointed out, no user manual. You just took it out of the box and you knew what to do.
Right. The click wheel is actually something, also is a struggle to come up because they want a very... Steve Jobs said that you cannot do more than 3 clicks to get at what I want. If you click more than 3 times to not get at what I want, it's not good enough. So it's a lot of deduction, a lot of elimination, a lot of the things that went through to make sure the process is as simple and direct as possible. And also, I think the first generation of iPod looks really good. It's beautiful, and you know, with the stainless back, It's seamless because you don't find any glue or crack to it. They stuck from within. The hinges are inside. So it's they went through pain to do that. I mean, the amount of work to make that beautiful shelf in a aluminum shelf in the back, it's really a masterpiece. So I think that's one time that where beauty really makes a lot of difference, and then of course, you know, the user friendly part.
Now, we were just saying a moment ago, you can have a really good product, but if the design is not good, if it's just not user friendly, it won't go anywhere. Do you think that Steve Jobs was a visionary in the fact that he thought, you know what, we have to have something that looks good, but also from an engineering standpoint? Do you think that he was an innovator in that way? He didn't just think as, say, a computer engineer who they just think, oh, I just want to make it work, and if nobody else can use it, and if it doesn't look good, it doesn't really matter so much. He was probably an innovator in that regard, right?
Right. Well, he says the best in one of his keynote speech, that he said for the company who's very good at software, they should make their own hardware. So Apple, in a sense, is a software company who makes a beautiful shelving for their software. But software comes with a very tough discipline and logic, like I said, you know, because it detects on how you use it. So to make it user-friendly, they have to make a really, really, really simple programming, and also make it really, really user-friendly. So that's a lot of part on the software. Therefore, you can make a hardware simple because you don't need a lot of button. And that contributes because of the software. Otherwise, you need a button for different functions. So I think Steve Jobs really understands the software, really understands the hardware, and he appreciates design immensely. So, so I think all that three combination makes Apple really quite different than other companies. The other company doesn't praise design or software as much, like Microsoft, IBM, or Samsung. They are big company, but they do not tackle those three part like Apple did.
Let's talk about legacy for a moment. In the last century, right to today, there have been names that people today still remember. For example, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, an item that today we take for granted. He invented sound recording. And people thought, no, nobody will ever buy pre-recorded music. Henry Ford, he didn't invent the car, but he invented the way cars are assembled, the assembly line. Do you think that, let's say, in 100 years from now, Steve Jobs will be up there with these inventors?
Well, I think a lot of people already put him up there. I mean, you read all the news and he's already up there, but he's up there more unique because he creates not just one product, he changed the industry. And I mean, Edison is, of course, you know, we give credit for inventing a lot of things. But I think he has, I read the article that people think it Steve Jobs is actually a combination of Henry Ford and Edison. He has a mind of a creative invention, but also a discipline of making a mass product to the world. So of course, Edison is also a very brilliant businessman. So, he's definitely up there. But I think he's a different than those other two from the creative professional. It's that he really cares about design. You know, a design is a very small industry. So you have this big guy out there trying to fight the rest of the world with the design. So he is a biggest spokesperson for design industry. So for that, it's, you know, on a very personal level, we appreciate him immensely that way, you know.
One final question. Apple now, without Steve Jobs at the helm, do you think, because the company, don't forget, in the late 1990s, they were on the verge of going bankrupt. Steve Jobs came back to Apple, the company that he created, and there was a complete turnaround. Do you think now that the company has gotten to a point where even in Steve Jobs' mind, maybe when he was passing away, that he knew, okay, you know what? Now we're at the level that even if I'm not here, we can still continue because of the ideas that he brought to the company as a designer and as an engineer and as an innovator.
you know, they work on the first iPhone on the 2005 and release on 2007, meaning that it takes about 2 to 3 years before they work on the product, meaning that Steve has already worked on the product that we will see for 2 years from now, so that's already in the work. So I think that Apple will be autopilot for at least a good 6-7 years without have to worry about the competition. Of course, they worry about the price war and all that, but the product they released, the iPad 3, iPad 4, iPhone, all the way to, I think, iPhone 7, that they are already in the work. So I think they're pretty good shape in terms of the, you know, in terms of the company growth and all that. They just recently said that this iPhone is only a 5% of the whole total phone. They are a big chunk of smartphone, but in terms of the everyday phone, everybody phone, they're only 5% market. So they still have a lot of room to go. So I think they're gonna go somewhere. But what we lost without Steve is vision to create a hit after hit of a surprises. I mean, surprise in this technology world, it's very rare now. We don't get surprised a lot. We see everything. We see Hollywood, we see things blow up. We get used to everything now. You can't really surprise anyone with anything.
It's almost like he brought back the, you know, when for example, in Hollywood, when they came out with sound movies, it was a big surprise. Yeah. And then it sort of vanished. But then there are other companies out there. I don't see people, say, getting excited over the LG tablet or the Galaxy or the new one released by Amazon. But even though, for example, just recently, Apple launched the iPhone 4S, it didn't look any different because the iPhone 4 was already out, but the technology inside was a big step forward compared, let's say, with the previous one.
Right. Well, I think I went to look at the market and I see all the tablet out there and it's just not as refined. And it's very sad. People buy things sometimes because of the price. But it's changing now because Apple iPad is not that expensive anymore. It's more expensive than the rest of the pads. But, you know, Apple is not popular before because simply because they are a little bit more expensive than the other competitors. And it's very sad to see people choose product primarily based on price factor. Or price factor will dictate the choice. I mean, it's not a huge. We're not talking about Rolls Royce and Toyota. You know, it's. I mean, it is a little bit more, but it's so much more intuitive and so much more friendly. So, you know, I'm very happy. I'm the first one very happy to see Apple finally made it to the mainstream.
And that was my conversation with Imin Pao, the owner of a brand consulting company called Brand Partner. By the way, you're listening to Media Network Plus. Over the last few months, we had a poll on the PCJ website. The poll question was, do you like the new Sanjen ATS 909X? Now, of course, many of you probably don't have the radio. I was going purely on the aesthetics, how it looks. The results are the following. This is from, well, nearly 420 people that took part in the poll. 89.2% said yes, they like the new ATS 909X, 6.5% said maybe, and 4.3% said no. I'd like to find out who that 4% are, actually, and have them on the program. We do have a new poll up right now. Just go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll find it on the homepage. Let's now move to propagation, and what's the outlook for the next few days? Here's Dan Hensley.
On October 15th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 120, an A index of 8, KP index of 3, and October 16th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 115, A index of 8, KP index of 3, and October 17th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 115, A index of 8, KP index of 3. On October 18th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 120, A index of 5, KP index of 2. On October 19th, we have a 10.7 centimeter flux of 125, A index of 5, KP index of 2. On October 20th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 125, A index of 5, KP index of 2. On October 21st, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 125, A index of 5, KP index of 2. 7 sunspots are in view this week. A new unnumbered sunspot near the sun's eastern limb is crackling with C-class solar flares. If the sunspot continues to grow, it could soon produce even stronger M flares and bring an end to this week's lull in solar activity. On October 15th to October 17th will be our worst A index days when coupled with a KP index of 3 or higher. The best bet for good propagation on these days rests within the 10.7 centimeter flux. October 18th to the 21st will be our best propagation days for this week when coupled with the 10.7 centimeter flux in the KP index being 2 or lower. As of October 12, 2011, the solar environment has been quiet. Time to start trying to work the world or tune the world in as our sun starts to wake up a bit. Back to you, Keith.
Well, thank you very much, Dan Hensley, for this week's propagation report. Anyway, with that, we've come to the end of this week's edition of Media Network Plus. If you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple, mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also download all past editions of the program by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and click on the link for Media Network Plus. So, on behalf of Paulette Macquarie, this is Keith Perron saying so long, take care, and best 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.
The sun is fading away. That's the end of the day. As the June light turns to moonlight, I'll be on my way. Just one kiss and I'll go.